We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
At 15 seconds, guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engines running. We have a liftoff.
Well, you know, I just wanted to start off by saying, you know, some of you maybe felt this first service, and I feel it again this service, and maybe some of you watching online or some of you in the room, you needed to hear Alicia's story, because maybe for some of you, even this past week, you've thought of ending your life, and I just want you to know that you heard that story not by accident, and that God has a purpose for your life, and there is hope. And so keep leaning into Jesus. Don't give up. Keep leaning into Jesus. There's hope. There's purpose for your life, okay? So you didn't hear that story by accident, okay? There's no coincidence there. And so lean into that truth. Lean into that hope. Don't believe the lies of the enemy that's trying to destroy you, okay? Lean into his truth. So excited to be here today with you guys as we continue in our series, Liftoff, as we go through the book of Acts. If you're watching online, we're glad that you're joining us as well. And this is an explosive series because this is when God ignites and starts the greatest startup the world has ever seen, the local church, the hope of the world. The local church has spread all throughout the globe, and it is lighting a fire like never before. It's unbelievable. It can't be contained. It cannot stop. And I got to experience this past week seeing the local church on the other side of the globe in Japan with Pastor Maki, our Japanese pastor. Konnichiwa. Got it. And our Japanese church is actually in the house today. So konnichiwa. Hajime mashite. Nice to meet you. I'm really getting good at this. So we got to see the local church, but the local church in Japan is very small. You got 125 million or so people in Japan, and only 0.2% know Jesus. That's 250,000 people. And so very, very small. And I'm telling you, when you get off the plane and you get on a train and you go into the world of Tokyo or Osaka, you can feel the lostness. You can feel the brokenness. You can feel the numbness and the hopelessness. And so what we were doing there was exploring different partners, as we not only wanted to plant Hakari City, our Japanese church here, but we want to multiply that into Japan. And so the main mission of Hakari City is to reach people here in Detroit. We got 15,000 Japanese here in the Metro Detroit area, with the hope that as they receive the gospel here, every 5 years or so, many of them will go back to Japan, hopefully with the gospel, with the light of Jesus in them, to be connected to other local churches there that we've now made connections with, or to help start other local churches within those organizations. And so Maki and I got to meet with many different churches and organizations and mission organizations. One of them specifically is an organization that we have partnered together with in our extra mile this year, the Timothy Initiative. And they go into unreached people groups, Japan being one of them. And we got to be on the ground level of them starting to plant churches in Japan. Here's a picture of us in the beginning stages of the training 25 to 30 Japanese people to be a part of either planting a church or being a part of that church planting movement. And so it's just starting, but we got to see it literally lift off in Japan. And so we're excited to see what this is going to turn into. And so it's so exciting. When it comes to the local church, when it comes to the world and the lostness and the brokenness of it, I like how Vance Havner said it like this. He says, "We're not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. And so today, as we open up the book of Acts chapter 2, we will see today how incredible it is, because God ignited something so powerful. He ignited the power of his Holy Spirit that ignited the church. It says that we'll read, it came like a rushing wind. It says that it came almost like a fire. Now, not like this kind of fire. I almost, whenever I read this, it makes me think of maybe it was the fire that Moses saw in the burning bush. But it came specifically. The Holy Spirit has been around before this, but this came in a very unique way, because this was now the Holy Spirit indwelling into the believers, that all who call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And we see this taking place at Pentecost. And so what we know about the power of the Holy Spirit is this, is the Holy Spirit, when you put your faith in Jesus, we need to be identified by the Spirit. That's our salvation. But not only do we need to be identified by the Spirit, we need to be ignited by the Spirit. Because in his kindness and his generosity, he continually brings new waves of his Spirit in our lives. Pentecost, that we'll read about today, was a one-time experience. Just like the cross was a one-time experience, just like the resurrection was a one-time experience, Pentecost is a one-time experience. But just like the early church experienced after Pentecost, something happened in the local church that happens in us as well, is that it's easy for us to lose the fire and to just start blowing smoke into our lives. It's easy for us to let the power of the Holy Spirit be squelched in our lives individually and collectively as a church. And so Acts 2 is very powerful, because it shows us the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the local church and how it ignited the local church and gives it its fuel and its power. But it also shows us the key essentials of what a local church should be and how it should operate, a church that is operated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my hope and prayer for today is, as we look at this text, is that we'll be humble enough to see where might we be blowing smoke as a church collectively, and where might we as the people of the church, the body of the church, be blowing smoke individually in our lives. Where might we be growing cold, where we have lost the fire of God in specific areas of our lives, and that we would be humble enough and open enough to see where we might be growing cold. And so that's our focus for today. And so, as always, we just want to pray that God would speak to us in a mighty, mighty way. And so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that your word would pop off the pages to us, and that you would stir in us where we might be growing cold. And so, God, humble us enough to see it. Move in us, oh God. And so, Father, just more of you, less of us, and may you be pleased. God, get me out of the way. As always, I pray that every time on purpose, please. God, may your word be so clear, so powerful today. We love you. We need you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So grab your Bible, open it up to the book of Acts, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and there you'll find it. Acts chapter 2. And we'll just begin. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, it says that they were all together in one place. So just to set this up, this is just 10 days after one of the greatest liftoffs, when Jesus ascended into heaven. Just 10 days after that is when Pentecost took place. Now remember, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples to go and pray and wait, and I'm going to send you my helper, the power of the Holy Spirit. So you imagine his followers are like, okay, we're going to go wait. And so day goes by, 24 hours, and they're thinking, okay, when's it coming? Day one happens, day two happens. It's got to be day three, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, here it comes. Nothing. You're thinking, what in the world? Day four, they're waiting. Day five, don't you hate waiting? Day six, they're waiting. Day seven, it's got to be seven, right? Seven, the perfect number, 7 mile markers, right? I mean, come on, right? Nothing. Day eight, day nine, and then bingo bango, day 10. The power of the Holy Spirit comes and invades the local church like never before. Now, what does Pentecost mean? Just a reminder, Pentecost literally just means 50. And why does it mean 50? It's because it was celebrated 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, which took place during Passover. And so in Jewish celebrations, they would come together and they would celebrate the movement when God showed up on Mount Sinai to Moses and he gave the law, the Ten Commandments written on stone tablets. He came with fire, he came with power, and he came with the Ten Commandments. Now here we are, notice the parallel, some 1,500 years later, and God comes similarly with fire, with his power at Pentecost. And if you read about it in Exodus 33, sadly we see that 3,000 people died that day with Moses. But here on this day, 3,000 people we'll see were added to the local church and were saved. Do you see the parallel? You can't make this stuff up. The law brings death, but the Spirit brings life. Would you say that with me? The law brings death, but the Spirit brings life. Think of the timing of this, guys. If you can follow me on this, Jesus dies during the time of Passover. And then he rises from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits the day after the Sabbath. And then 50 days later to the detail, Pentecost happens. And the Holy Spirit invades the church. This isn't random. This isn't coincidence. This is God's perfect picture of restoration to bring us back into right relationship with him. It's just unbelievable. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way for us. Amen? Now watch this. Now we see the fire falling down. Verse 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And it says they were what? Say it with me. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this time the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And so this was an incredible moment. I mean, I just being in Japan, how cool it would have been for every time I would speak, they would actually understand me. That would have been nice. Luckily, I had Maki as my translator. But this is just a powerful moment. They're like, what in the world is happening? Then in verses 8 through 11, we see a list of 15 different geographical locations. And it says, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And so I'll spare you from what you watching me try to pronounce all those names. And I'd rather you ponder this thought. Ever I read this, it's always interesting. It always makes me go back to the book of Genesis when we were studying the Tower of Babel. Notice the parallel here, how God used languages to scatter people because of their disobedience and their rebellion. And now he's using tongues to unite people under the power of the Holy Spirit. As one, reminding us that the gospel is for all people, for all nations, one tongue, the Holy Spirit. Amen? How amazing is that? Thank you, Jesus. Now notice this in verse 12. It says, all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But now notice this. Others were mocking, and they said, they are filled with new wine. Basically, they were saying, they need to skip a drink. They need to sober up a little bit. They're a little drunk. And I was thinking about it. They literally thought they were crazy. And I just want to share with you, when I was in Japan last week with Pastor Maki, I think a lot of times people thought I was a little crazy as I was trying to talk to them in the language. And so when we first got there, I asked, I'm trying to learn, different things. And I asked Maki, I said, hey, I was wondering if you could teach me some slang so I can relate to the younger people. So thank you is arigato gozaimasu. And I was like, could you give me like a little bit of a slang word to kind of like relate to them better? And he's like, sure. So Maki gives me this phrase. He says, yeah, if you want to say thank you, just say something like this. Onada shimasta. Onada shimasta. So the Japanese people in the room right now might be giggling. So I'm going around all day. Just onada shimasta. Onada shimasta. Which does not mean thank you. It means I farted. Yeah, Pastor Maki. So just imagine me getting out of a taxi. Onada shimasta. The guy's like, in a packed train like sardines. I mean, they just cram them in. And I'm like, Onada Shemasta. Onada Shemasta. It's just like... But don't worry, I got them back many times. Here's one example of the times I get Maki back always.
Maki! Oh!
Yes, there he is. Just watch the face here. Just really, just, yeah, there he is. Yes. Plenty more where that came from if you want any more footage. I got plenty of it. oh, man, it was good. Okay, back on track. So people thought they were crazy on a whole other level, just like people thought I was crazy in Japan. But this is a good reminder, though, because sometimes when the power of God is moving in the same way, we can either be in two categories. We can be curious or we can be cynical, just like they were. Some were curious and they leaned in, what is this? Others were like cynical and critical. And the same thing can happen with us. When we see the power of God moving, we can say, you know, well, I'm not sure about this. And because of, you know, maybe jealousy or pride or whatever it might be, sometimes we can disguise that with our theology instead of being more like curious. And everything needs to be tested by the word of God, absolutely. But I think it serves ourselves better whenever we see a movement of God taking place or God moving in a specific way. It serves us better to be more on the curious side than the cynical side, to see what could God be doing. So then Peter stands up and he gives the first message of the local church. And he gives this beautiful message to defend what was taking place, to make people understand what was actually happening, the power of God. And we're not going to dive into that right now because next week, Pastor Barry and I are going to do a whole message just on that section about Peter's first message to the local church. So I want to skip down to verse 42 where we see these key essentials of what it means to be a church that is ignited by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it says this in verse 42. It says, and they what? Will you say this word with me? Devoted. They devoted themselves. They didn't drift. They didn't neglect. But they were devoted even when they didn't feel it, and even when they didn't feel like it, they devoted themselves to specific things. And here's the first thing that they devoted themselves to. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. This is the reminder of the importance to devote ourselves to biblical teaching. The importance of being a part of a local church, being under a local church that is going to teach the word of God. That just doesn't teach parts of it, but teaches all of it. That doesn't skip over the hard parts. Yes, we need to be a church that's going to preach love, that's going to preach forgiveness, that is going to preach heaven. Absolutely. But we also have to be a church that's going to preach on sin and how it's real. We have to preach on the judgment of God. We have to preach on hell. We have to preach on repentance. All of it. We have to preach on all of it. And so it's so important to make sure that we're part of local churches that are teaching the word of God. But not only that, if you are a part of a church that is preaching God's word, to actually receive it and not grow cold to it, to make sure that we're not being discipled by the world, but being discipled by the word of God. And how easy is it for sometimes for us to hear God's word every single Sunday and to go in one ear and out the other and not change and not let it shape and not do what it says. Listen, my friends, this is a treasure. This is such an anchor. Our world is crazy. We know this. Our world is so broken. I mean, last night we saw the president almost get shot again. I mean, what in the world? I mean, it's like, it's crazy out there. And so this is our anchor. This is our guide. This brings so much wisdom. This brings so much power. This brings so much freedom. This gives you so much joy. This brings you peace that surpasses all understanding. This is the word of God, and this should disciple your life, not the world. But we have to receive that. And so where might the biblical teaching of God's word have grown cold in your life? And where might you need to just say, Holy Spirit, ignite your word in my life. I need that fire lit in my life. Not only were they devoted to biblical teaching, it says that they were devoted to the fellowship. This is a Greek word, a famous Greek word called koinonia. This is the idea to have a shared life, a partnership. It doesn't mean just showing up to a service. It means opening up and doing life together, togethering in a sense, being connected in fellowship. The local church, we have to remember, is the fulfillment of what God instituted in the book of Genesis, that man should not be alone. Isolation is not how we were designed. We were designed to be in community. Hebrews reminds us not to neglect the gathering. And I hear people say this all the time, and maybe you've heard this too. People say, you know, I'm a Jesus follower, but I don't need the local church. And then I'll hear this line. I'm just not into organized religion. I'm just not into organized church. And so sometimes I say, and you can steal this, I say, so what are you into? Unorganized church? What are you into? Like chaotic church? Like, I've said this many times, you've heard me, but it's so important for us to hear again. Like being a Jesus follower without the local church is like a fish without water. You will not thrive, and you might not survive, honestly. Another example of that is if you're a musician, and it's awesome being a musician and learning an instrument. But if you just only play the instrument by yourself and you never get to experience the arrangement of a band or arrangement of an orchestra and feel the harmonies all blending together and the orchestra and the producer and it all coming together, you're missing out. Because there's some serious, amazing power and unbelievable enjoyment and pleasure that comes from the local church that God created for us to enjoy. And here, I just want to say something too, and I need to just talk to anyone that's watching or listening online. Listen, we're so glad. I'm so glad that you're watching. And for some of you, you're watching right now because you're on vacation and you want to stay connected to your local church, or you're sick, or maybe you physically aren't able to get out of wherever you're at, okay? Then this is, maybe it's a podcast through the week that you're listening to as some more just word to digest for your soul. That's great. But if you ever are using this as a substitute for you getting into the local church, God forbid that you would ever use Miles City Church as a substitute for you getting into the local church. And so I just beg you, like, use this as a supplemental tool, but never a substitute. And if you're not a part of a local church, wherever you're watching this, please, I beg you, take the courage and step into a local church that's going to preach God's word to you. It's so important. Don't miss out. You're missing out. And not only are you missing out, but that local church is missing you and what you can bring to the table to bring your gifts to the fellowship. We have to devote ourselves to the fellowship. Don't neglect the fellowship of the local church. Then it says they devoted themselves not only to the fellowship and in the biblical teaching, but to the breaking of bread, which is referring to communion, the Lord's Supper that we're going to be taking later in our service today. To not neglect coming together and breaking the bread. The local church comes together and takes communion for the purpose of remembering the work of the cross of Jesus Christ and what that does and what that means for us. And the reason why we come to remember is because when you remember, you're not only remembering, but you're purifying. You can't take communion on a regular basis before the Lord and keep sin in your life. And so that's one of the main reasons why Jesus told us to, as often as you gather, to take communion, so that we literally deal with sin in our lives. Because to take communion appropriately, you have to deal with your unconfessed sin. You have to deal with the stuff that we have to lay at the feet of Jesus. And so we're going to do that later today. And so begin to prepare your heart. Oh God, where might I be continually in a sin that I need to lay down at your feet? And I bring that to you, oh Jesus. Because here's the danger. If you're like me, We justify this thing, we justify it here. And here's the danger. The more that we justify, it turns into normalize. And then as we see all throughout Scripture, God gave them up to their sin where they no longer can hear the knock of saying, wake up. The power of the Holy Spirit's trying to say, wake up. But if we keep justifying, then we become normalized. And here's the thing. All of us in this room as Jesus followers, there's probably something in each of us that we've justified that has become normalized that we might not even know today. And so we need to beg God. As the psalmist said in Psalm 139, search my heart, O God. Know my thoughts. Show me if there's any disgusting, grievous, wicked ways in me, O God. Show me, reveal, search my heart, O God. And so we're going to do that in our service today, even in this moment right now. It's so important for us to come and to break bread together because it helps us see any unconfessed sin in our lives. It not only says that they were devoted to the breaking of bread, it says that they were devoted to their prayers and to the prayers. Jesus said that my house should be a house of prayer. Jesus said my house should be a house of prayer. Oh, the importance of us going to God in prayer and to continually exercise that muscle as a church family, individually and collectively. Oh, the power of a praying person. Oh, the power of a praying church. And it's a mystery. It's a mystery, guys, that we'll never completely understand and solve. The fact that we have a sovereign God that uses the prayer of us, his people, to do his specific activity, to direct his activity. God uses our prayers in his sovereignty to do that. It's unbelievable that he would do that. And so that means that we should not stay quiet. That means that we should not, you know, grow cold in our prayers because our prayers accomplish much. And the mystery of that is just unbelievable and fascinating that God would use our prayers. But it's so important. And so may our church continually be a church that is striving to be a house of prayer. And so my hope as a church family that we'll just keep pouring fuel on that fire. We've been trying to do that the last couple years, but it's only the beginning. And so may our front of our altars and in church, we have our prayer team that comes down. Just we need to fill that up. Take advantage of that every Sunday. Just fill it up. Praying for yourself for something that's going on or praying for someone else or for something that's going on. Let's just fill up the front as we're trying to be a praying church. Let's fill up our first Wednesdays to call upon the Lord to do what only he can do. But let's be praying boldly within our city groups and our coaching groups. Praying, praying, praying. So I don't know what that means for you today, but where might you need to shake up your prayer life? Maybe it's cold in a certain area. Shake it up. Change it up. Do whatever you got to do. Praying, I said this already, but praying when you don't feel like it, praying when you don't feel anything, is actually those moments where you're actually building muscle and spiritual strength. It's in those moments as you're building and you're strengthening, when you don't feel like it and when you don't feel anything, is when God is building those spiritual muscles. And so be continually devoted to being a prayerful church, individually and collectively. That's my hope. That's my prayer for us as a church. Not only were they devoted to their prayers, it says, and then awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Oh man, we've seen that so much in our church over the last couple years. It's been amazing. And maybe it's not specifically exactly the same way that was taking place in Acts 2, but we've seen miracles, miracles of saved marriages, miracles of people breaking addictions, miracles of salvation, miracles of baptism, miracles of people's faith just growing as they wait on the Lord. Because that's a miracle. Watching our faith grow as we wait on the Lord to do something that he still hasn't done yet is a miracle. And so don't give up. It's amazing to see all the miracles that are happening within our church, and we'll see more and more of that as we continually be a church that is ignited by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 44, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts. And so here we see the spirit of generosity. Here we see the spirit of sharing. Now, sometimes when people read this, they think this is a little extreme. This is a little socialist. This is a little communist. But you have to remember the context. People were traveling from all over on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And then they were taken off guard and caught up into the power of the Holy Spirit. So they were literally homeless. And so people were literally meeting the needs of the tangible needs right in front of people as they were literally on a pilgrimage. And then God completely was saving them. And so they were meeting needs and being prompted by the power of the Holy Spirit to share here, share there, when God prompted them. And so when I think about this from my own life, about keeping an open hand, a spirit of sharing, a spirit of generosity, instead of becoming greedy and closing my hands, for me, we've taught on this many times, so I can't go into all the details of that, but the importance of biblical tithing, it's biblical. Old Testament, New Testament, it's real. God wants us to give. I've learned that as a young age. Thankful for parents that taught me that, to never steal from God and give him the tithe. And so I've done that ever since I was a little kid. Not only that, we're supposed to give the offering on top of that. The tithe is never the ceiling. And so then I give the extra. It's after that where I get greedy. Because I tithe, I give extra to our extra mile and things. But then it's after that when God prompts Jen and I to do something more to share. And here's what I start doing. Yeah, but God, I've already given this, and I've already done this, and I've already done this. And I start explaining all the things that I've already given to him. And it's in those moments right there where God's trying to teach me, are you being open-handed or are you being close-handed? I don't know what that means for you today. I'm just saying that this is a spirit that we have to constantly work on, to not be greedy, to stay open-handed, and to not grow cold when God calls us in those moments to be sharing and to be generous. May we continually be a generous and sharing church. Lastly, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And it says that the Lord added to their number day by day to those who were being saved. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so, when you are a person, when we are a church that is actively allowing the Holy Spirit to work on all those essentials that we've just seen, then naturally we are going to praise the Lord and we are going to rejoice. And the joy of the Lord is going to come over us and out of us, and it's going to be contagious. And because of the joy of the Lord in us, it says that people, in a sense, are going to see that joy coming out of us, and the Lord continually added to their number daily. What do you have? What do you have? I want what you have. The joy of the Lord coming out of them. When Maki and I were in Japan, we got a chance to share the gospel with many different people. And one of those moments was as we were out there, we were on our way to a place called Inoshima. And so if you didn't know, I like to sail. And there's this T-Wall that I like. And they have a T-Wall Japan. And so they were so kind and generous and set Maki and I up with a sailboat there for us to just use out of the kindness of their hearts. They were sharing and just said, here, you guys take it. So that was pretty cool. On our way down there, we had a 45-minute train, and this young adult named Alto sat next to Maki and I on the train. And we just were cutting it up, talking about life, what he's doing. He's a lifeguard. And talking about his girl and all this stuff. And then I just started to ask questions about, hey, so tell me about your faith. Tell me about God. Tell me about what happens when you leave this earth. Like, what's your perspective? And he looked at me and he goes, well, first of all, no one's ever asked me that before. Second of all, I've never even thought about that. And I said, well, can I tell you about Jesus? Have you ever heard of Jesus? And he said, no, who's that? Every person we talked to never heard the name of Jesus before. I almost had to redo my evangelism strategy, because here in America, I'm most of the time undoing bad theology. Where here was like, I had to start from ground zero. There's a creator God that's crazy about you and actually cares about you and is interested in you. And so we're starting from ground zero there. And so I give the whole gospel to him. And Maki did a beautiful job, I think, translating. I think he did. He did a good job. And I wish I could tell you that on that train, he got on his hands and knees and received Jesus as his Savior. And then we baptized him in the Pacific Ocean while we were sailing on the T-Wall. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. But I gave him the YouVersion Bible app in Japanese, gave him the 21-day challenge. I want you to read the book of John, a chapter a day. And before you read it, I just want you to pray, God, if you're out there, if you're really real, would you speak to me? And I told them, I said, listen, if you do this, I believe God will speak to you. I believe he'll speak to you. And so I got this bracelet on because all the lifeguards, he's a lifeguard. And I told him, I'm like, do you think it's by accident that you are sitting next to me on a 45-minute train and you're going to be lifeguarding on the exact beach that Maki and I just so happened to be going to? And he's like, yeah, I guess maybe you're right. And so all the lifeguards have these little bracelets. And I said, I want to be a part of the club. And so they let me have one. And so I'm just going to wear this for the next 21 days to just pray for Alto, that when he reads the word of God, it'll captivate his mind and then lead to his heart. And so, in fact, I just was hoping that you wouldn't mind, as a church family, just the power of us being together, of our family, if you just pray for him right now. And so let's just do that. If you don't mind, his name's Alto. And right now it's 1 a.m. there. Maybe he's still up, scrolling on his phone. And maybe you just pray that he'd stop the scroll and he'd scroll onto the Word of God and that God would speak to him. Would you just pray for him? His name's Alto. Just take a few moments. Father, I pray for Alto. Speak to him, oh God. Change his life. Show him who you are, that you're real. Make it clear. May we rejoice in his salvation. And so all of us have prayed for someone on the other side of the world together, but now let's just make it even close to home. Who's someone that you need to pray for? Who needs the light of Jesus? And just right now, take a few moments and just ask God to move in their lives and save them. Remember, it's the Lord who adds to the number to be saved. He uses us, but it's all him. And so who's that for you in your life? Just take a few moments and just pray for them, that God would save them and give you the opportunity to share the joy of the Lord that's in you to them. Just lift them up by name right now. Jesus. As you continue to pray for people that need to be saved, I'm going to talk to maybe some of you in the room that's you. You haven't been saved. You've never called upon the name of the Lord to save you. And you're here in this room not by accident today. And I just want you to hear this gospel truth. God loves you. He created you. And he wants a real relationship with you. He made you real, so real that you have the ability to sin. And we've all fallen short. You've fallen short. I've fallen short. And because of that sin, it separates us from God. There's nothing we can do to fix it on our own. And so that's why he sent Jesus to die for us. And not only die for us, but rise again for us 3 days later. And he made it so clear that all who call upon his name will be saved. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus to save you, it says that the power of his Spirit will move in your life. And so you might not understand it all, but if you've never put your faith in Jesus today and you're tired of running, you're tired of trying to fix it yourself, then I want to lead you through a prayer between you and God. Make it your own. Just say something like this. Just say, Father, I'm tired of running away from you. I'm tired of living in isolation without you, God. And so today I'm asking you to save me. Just tell him that. Save me, oh God. Forgive me of my sin. I own it. Forgive me, oh God. And then with gratitude, just say, thank you for dying for me and rising again for me. And so today, I get out of the way and I humble myself and I receive you, Jesus, tell him that, to be the king of my life. You're the king. You're my savior. You're my king. Just tell him that. As we keep on praying, if you own that, then Scripture is so clear that you will no longer perish, but now you'll have everlasting life, and the power of his Spirit now lives in you. And no one or nothing can ever change that or take that from you. So, Father, thank you so much for being a saving God. It's unbelievable. You're so good. We love you. We praise you. Amen.